Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. John is directly across from me, John Shipman. This is a germane thing to say, a U.S. Army veteran. He was summoned by Uncle Sam, as my father was, and served the Vietnam era, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, fantastic. Then a good Sunbury businessman, just a super-duper community leader and volunteer and helper and a real contributor to moving the city forward. Worked very hard behind the scenes for many, many years, as the Chamber of Commerce saying, helping good things happen that people think just happen. So thank
That's
you.
That's true.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, when you see great flower pots or great improvements or new sidewalks or something or other, he always made those things happen. And we have two guests in the studio today to talk about a great book and really just also legacies of military service and help. Judy Silverstein Gray, who we got to interview on our Sunrise interview prior to the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade, is in studio with us now. So, Judy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
I really do appreciate it. Co-author of Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Was Left Behind. And this talks about the sea change of emphasis for POWs and MIAs that was, I'm going to just summarize it, saying it was not talked about extensively prior to Vietnam, but some women made things happen and made this happen. And you brought just a great resident of Lewisburg with you, Nada Gray, your mother-in-law, a former manager of Lewisburg, but also a tremendous community member and advocate and contributor.
Well, yes, busybody.
Busybody, okay.
But well, no, I enjoyed working for the borough. I thought it was probably the best 10 years that I've had, that I had an opportunity. Every day was different, and you know, you may not think it's fun to be the person that's with the garbage and the street sweepers and the snow blowers and all those technical things that you need to have a borough, but I had a wonderful crew and I had a wonderful council that supported me, and I would like to see more people become involved in the borough government because it's the most important.
Well, and I think the same thing applies to you. Your whole life and during time as manager, you helped make things happen that most people think just happened on their own.
Right.
But you pushed and made sure that good progress happened. Well, Judy, let's start talking about the book, and I think that conversation could easily start with NADA. So let's tell us about how the very onset of this book, the history.
Well, NADA is one of the folks to whom the book is dedicated because she is inspirational and because of the hard work she does behind the scenes without ever asking for notoriety. But we were approached by a POW, Richard Stratton, Captain Richard Stratton. You may remember him on the cover of Life magazine, bowing to his captors in 67. 3 months after he was captured, the foreign press was in North Vietnam, and it was a propaganda kind of ploy to get him to talk, and he refused to, but he bowed deeply, signaling to his wife that something was amiss with his hollowed-out eyes, but also trying to look respectful when, in fact, he was bowing so deeply he was registering a protest. And he came to us and said, actually to my co-author who had written about the POWs before, and said, a lot has been written about us, not so much about the wives and families. And we began, she recruited me to look into this with her, and we realized there was a real story here, little known, and instrumental in changing how we wage our wars and how we care for our military families and what we do with the missing.
And Nada, you fully supported and endorsed and helped to get this book started. Tell us why this book had to be written by somebody. If not Judy, somebody was going to have to take this up.
Well, I believe that if you have a mission in life, you'll find it, and you just need to remember that. And she did have, and she stuck with it. And she spent lots of time at my kitchen table, my dining room table, working on it. And that was inspired me to see that yes, if you want to do something, you need to really do it and not just say, oh, well, maybe. And I am very impressed at the book.
John, your impression? You got a chance to read the book.
I did. And I'm just amazed at the depth of the research. I can't imagine the number of hours that went in just to the research before the book was even written, because it documents these things so well. And it's a tribute to these two ladies. A lot of work went into this book, and a lot of work went into the research before the book ever was written. So
it was 8 years of their dedication.
Well, tell me, why so much detail in the book? I mean, you got the atmospheric fear, the little feel, the comments, what people were wearing, how they felt about what they were wearing, and all this detail in there.
Well, Mark, you know, and thank you also, John. We felt that this had to be cinematic in detail, that Vietnam is a heavy subject. Yeah. A lot has been written about it, but we wanted you to know the perspective of the families and the women, what it was like culturally, what it was like economically, what it was like socially, and set the stage to take you back. And I had always envisioned this would be great on film or in a TV series because it was so dramatic. And so we wrote it non-chronologically, but we had to understand the way the war played out and the significance of the battles, even though it's in the backdrop. This is not just a war story. This is not just a women's story or a wife's tale, as you know. It's very much a tale that's instructive for everyone about how to speak out when you're sidelined.
Have you heard anything about a screenplay or filmmakers yet?
We have a few nibbles, but it's something that we're focused on, and we keep fielding questions about. Yesterday, I spoke to the former commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Allen, and he said, you know, I think this should be a screenplay, and so does my wife. And we love that.
Well, yeah, it begs for that. I mean, it really is a compelling person story. Yes, war is the undercurrent, and terrible leaders in Vietnam are the villains. But it's this story of survival and success and lasting change, and making sure that humans are brought up and talked about and are made first and are sort of the center of a wartime conversation, not sort of an asterisk.
Yes, I think that's correct. And in fact, you know, I think about the POW bracelets in the book, and most of us of a certain age remember wearing them, and it was engraved with a serviceman's name, his rank, his service, and his date of loss. I remember being 12 years old and my camp counselor selling them to us and saying, you never take it off till that gentleman comes home. And that stuck with me. And so the women partnered with a student organization called Voices in Vital America, or VIVA. And they managed to give a personal touch, a humanitarian side, at a time to a crisis, the plight of the missing men and the plight of those who are captive, at a time when the country was really divided. And so everyone can remember, in fact, 5 million, more than 5 million were sold, seeing that or wearing it and having a connection to a human being and seeing this through to fruition. And then they fought so that a promise the government made 50 years ago would endure. And in fact, it's no coincidence that we left Afghanistan, America's longest war, with no man left behind.
And Nada, your connection to and your story, how are you woven into this, at least monitoring it, not just watching it being written? What else do you know here?
I think I'm not woven in. I think I'm just the support behind the book, is that she always knew that when everybody else, that she could come to me and I'd say, Judy, you can do it. You can do it. Keep on.
Well, and it's a woman's story. You know, NADA has always said, you know, the voices of those who don't always claim the spotlight are just as important. And the supporting role of the families, as well as the women, on the home front battlefield were as equally as essential to understanding as those on the battlefield.
I think that's a great point. This is the first time that I've heard this side of the Vietnam situation and the POW. You hear a lot about the men who were captured and what they went through and so forth. I've never in any detail until now, when I read your book, realized we all knew that there were wives and so forth, but you never realized what they went through. You never realized the persistence that they just refused to give up and so forth. This is a whole new part of that war that's not been told before.
Well, thank you for that. And we spent some time in Washington, D.C. last week and before that in Tampa, launching the book with MIA wives, with POW wives, and with the brother of one of the gentlemen in our book. And this is important to show that people respond across the spectrum in all kinds of ways. Resilience can be built up, but we have to understand the effect and the impact and care for each other as humans.
In what way, panel, everybody can answer this, in what way were the families at home different than World War II families at home? You know, what are the differences and similarities? I guess we'll start with John.
Well, the big difference is that there was no media coverage in World War II. They had live photographers who took pictures and sent them back, so it was 3 weeks or a month until they were published in Life. Vietnam unfolded before the TV camera, and so it was had a much greater impact at home, and yet there were parts of it that were just untold. You know, we saw the body bags and we saw the strafing and the helicopters and the planes and so forth, but you couldn't escape that. It was in your living room every night. So it was a different war, and it impacted the American people differently. World War II was patriotic, you know, we're saving the world and so forth. In Vietnam, it's like, why in the world are we over there in the first place?
All right, Nada, same question. You are a fan of history, so you know what was going on in World War II and your remembrances of the Vietnam era families and back home.
Well, I was not that much aware with Vietnam. We were, I guess, isolated. We were down at Fort Rucker, Alabama, and my husband was a reluctant draftee out of his medical career to spend down there and work in the hospital and take care of people. And so it was not, I have to say that we were semi-isolated. We were with pilots. We were on an Army base, and we had the helicopter schools there. And so you were aware of people coming and going and not coming back. But really an involvement. And Army people don't criticize what's going on. They just accept it. And, women would move in, they'd move out, you know, in 6 weeks they'd be resettled someplace else. So it was an experience to find out what having someone in control of your life was very different than civilian life. And I respected these women who could do it. Not being someone who went along well, I'm not sure that it was a place for us to be in regular Army after David finished his residency program. But the women were very, very strong, and they went where they were told, and this was amazing to me. And the other thing was that the pilots had, they just had a different attitude of life. I mean, their wives worried, but not they were, you know, they could go off and not think they might not come back, and they just accepted that. It was a real experience to be in the military and see how different life was than outside of it.
You know, NATO brought up a great point. I did want to say before I answer that, that NATO also told me stories about collecting KPOC during World War II and tinfoil for the war effort as a child. And so that was inspirational, that everybody got in line, to John's point. Everybody followed the government. If the government said you're government issue, you were government issue. If there's a joke in the Navy that if you needed a wife, the Navy would have issued one. So everybody fell in. But it's the cultural context that Nader mentioned that strikes me, and John, too. America took its news at the same time, maybe at different time zones, but from three stations, before or after dinner, some during. And it was the same unfiltered, uncensored war unfolding before our eyes, and it shaped a lot of things. As a young girl, I looked at the body count and wanted to know about the war and what that meant. It was almost like a movie as opposed to news, but we were deeply involved. And so that was an important point John brought up. And then NATO talked about culture. The early 1960s, when the first airmen were disappearing, in 1964 when Ev Alvarez was captured, it was a little bit more like the 50s. Women had all kinds of cultural rules. They wore gloves many times to go out. They didn't go out unaccompanied. They followed the rules, and military wives followed even more rules. They had prescribed behaviors for what they served, how they talked to officers. They were an extension of their husband's career, and they fell in line. And many of them had wills that had expired or powers of attorney and suddenly had to make economic decisions that they had not made. Most of them, if they worked, were stewardesses, they were teachers, they were happy homemakers, or they were occasionally a social worker, and they were expected to stop working once they had kids, and many were fired if they had children and were still working. So it was a different era for them to learn to speak publicly, to speak out, to still stay between the lines and carry the burden internally and not share the burden of having a deployed loved one publicly was something that was expected. So to start speaking out and lobbying was a sea change for them, and it was a little scary.
And to go to Asia, to go to Vietnam, to advocate for your husbands. We're going to talk about that chapter. And again, that's a tremendous detail, right down to the Titac. And it's really something that you're going to enjoy this book. The book is Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Was Left Behind, Vietnam-era wives who made sure that their husbands were not forgotten about when they were POWs and MIAs and were brought back, and that the Army's policy of say nothing, try to find out nothing, tell the family nothing, how that had to change. There's book events coming up, and we want to talk more about the premise of the book, and just almost everything Nader says to me is 100% fascinating, so we're going to have more of that when we come back. We will be right back. We'll open up the phones as well. If somebody has a question for our guests, call us 570-743-9565. Talking to Judy Silverstein Gray, author, co-author of Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Was Left Behind. She herself, a veteran, retired U.S. Army or U.S. Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer, and her co-author, not with us today, but there is a co-author whose name isn't in my notes. Please.
Taylor Baldwin Killand.
Thank you so much. And Nada Gray here, former manager of Lewisburg, but what did you say, busybody, right, up in Lewisburg. So I don't know if that's a compliment, but since it's your quote, we'll use it. So, yeah, just a super advocate and person up in Lewisburg.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to WKOK's live telephone talk show. John Shipman, my good co-host, he's a veteran. Our co-host, you're an Army wife. Does that qualify as veteran?
David David thought he was a doctor, not necessarily a soldier.
Okay.
He felt... funny stories about his being in the Army.
Nada Gray's talking, former mayor of Lewisburg, and I'm assuming you're in your 80s?
90 in September.
90. I'll be 90 in September.
Oh, okay. So when you talk about your World War II experiences, you're just post-World War II, and a lot of the our reactions still going on. Okay, so that's Nada Gray. Judy Silverstein Gray is here, would be the daughter-in-law of Nada, and the co-author of Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Was Left Behind. So first of all, book signings and events and declaration of reading. What's your schedule coming up?
It's been very welcoming in Lewisburg. As you know, we were the parade marshals last Saturday in the Union County Veterans Parade. And tonight at 5 p.m., I'll be at Barnes & Noble at Bucknell University on Market Street in Lewisburg, just meeting folks and who are interested in signing books. Tomorrow evening we'll be at Peter Hurtick House. We'll be reading the Declaration of Independence, and that is open by reservation, so they can be called. We've got Sunrise Rotary in Lewisburg next Wednesday morning at Sunrise, I believe. And it is open to the public. So, and that's a great service organization. So we have many things coming up.
Next week, Sunrise Rotary, what time?
7 a.m., I believe, or 7, yeah, 7 a.m.
And the location?
It's at Buffalo Valley Lutheran Village.
Oh, okay.
And we are available to do book talks and signings.
Right, if anybody's out there that would have the proper forum or a church around here or another Kiwanis or
Absolutely.
Rotary or somebody along that line. Okay, so those are the events. And Otto's Bookstore, truly a book lover's paradise in the heart of downtown Williamsport. I've said that 119,000 times. And they're going to host you at some point in the future. So listen for maybe August. And your website has these kinds of things on it?
That's correct. That's unwaveringbook.com. And we have an email address up there as well.
In a nutshell, this book is about the wives of Vietnam POWs and MIAs, as the U.S. Army would tell them nothing. And I don't think the Army was really making a high priority to find them or bring them back.
Well, it was the military in general, Mark. You know, context matters in history. And if you think about the fact that the war's missing began... aviators began being shot down in 1964. That was the Cold War era. And the U.S. had had a lot of success, as you may recall, from shooting down the shootdown of Gary Powers and his U-2 spy plane. And so there was back-channel diplomacy. It was done quietly. It was successful. And Gary Powers was released 2 years later. And that was considered a massive success. So when government officials said, "We regret to inform you, your husband is missing," they also said, "And keep quiet." One chaplain told one of the women in our book, "I'm here for you. I'm in my office Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. So we really didn't think about the feelings of families. That had worked very well during World War II. Keep quiet, loose lips, sink ships, and that sort of thing. But by 1965, when Operation Rolling Thunder began and the aerial assault was significant, more aviators, more airmen were being shot down. Families were doing what Nada described, and that is coming and going from bases. And they were told to not share the news with many people. And their casualty officers very rarely knew much news. So they agitated and developed some advocates within the Pentagon, the State Department, who was running the war at the time, and the Navy or Air Force, quietly, though. And it wasn't until Nixon had been elected and appointed Mel Laird, as his, okay.
We have 1 minute left.
Okay. That, who was their unsung hero, that they changed the policy to go public. And that emboldened the women along with some other current events.
And that changed everything.
It changed everything. And we owe these women a debt of gratitude because we now have an agency, a permanent agency because of them, that combs the globe looking for the missing from all wars. And it's in the news almost every month that remains are returned to family, sometimes 60 years later. But also that we care for our military families. These are really incredible women.
Neda, please tell us what else we should know.
Well, I think that it shows that people can make a difference. I think it shows that not being sexist, but that women can come forward and make, and I think there are issues today that I don't think it should just be moms against guns. I think it should be people against guns. I think that women have a role with this sex trafficking, and I think we need to take them seriously, and we need to support them, and we need to see some changes in this country.
Thank you so much. I got to stop you there. We're out of time. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Did you know this was happening?
Did I know this was happening?
All right. Yeah. You're a terrible liar. Always have been. So, but you kept it secret. Good for you. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We're going to do news headlines here in a moment. So go ahead and get in queue if you so desire with the telephone number 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. John Shipman is with us, our good co-host, a good conservative. I play a liberal on the radio. He actually is a conservative, so good for you. I'll be switched back to Republican shortly, okay? So okay. I'll be on the right side of the aisle. So, all right, so John Shipman, a Sunbury businessman, a real community leader. Ben Reichle pops in, not unexpectedly, because you forewarned me yesterday, so welcome back.
No, so we coordinated our clothing here for you, Mark.
Oh, the pinkish. Is that pink?
I hope. It's salmon for me. It's pink for Linda.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I don't see color as well as you guys do. So, all right, well, fantastic. And Linda, not just any Linda, Linda Schlegel-Culver, State Senator, 27th District, freshman state senator. What's it like for somebody to call you a freshman?
I love it.
Oh, you like it. Okay, well, yeah, good for you. Yeah, and ran into you briefly on Wednesday when the Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce had us down there. So, and I know what they are, so I know what you're up to.
Mark, it was an easy coordination. It only took Linda's schedule to change 14 times.
So that means
we are sitting right here.
That's right.
That means there's three of those in the building, because there's one in the conference room that was given to Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation only 25 short years ago, and I received a House resolution. I see. This wouldn't be a House resolution, would it? Or is this joint? Or what do you have there?
I have a citation.
A citation, okay.
Retirement, is that the right word?
We're from radio. Yeah, I'll be doing something else full time. But Citizen of the Year, there was one from you then. So, and I guess there's more trouble ahead here. So you want me to do headlines? Is that what you would like me to do right now?
I think you should, and then we can get the we can get the trumpets in to come in.
You go ahead and open that door. You can open that door if you wish to. You just have to be quiet out there. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Oh, Bella comes in. Bella's the great boxer dog that is a boxer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That is so friendly and nice and ever bark? Does she ever say anything?
Sometimes.
Okay. Becca's our good business manager, and Tom Morgan's in the background here. So, all right. Well, why don't we dispense with headlines for now? I don't know that I can.
We have another headline.
There's no reason for you guys to be tortured through that. Linda Schlegel-Culver here, 27th District. Now I know. I was going to say, what the heck are you doing here? Budget time underway in Harrisburg.
It is, yes.
You're going to make it by midnight?
Well, we're all holding our breath. It's down to, I think, one issue, and it is PASS. And I would love to tell you what that stands for, but they changed the name of it yesterday. It was Lifeline Scholarships. Mm-hmm. And it's scholarships for students in the 15% lowest performing schools at 250% under the poverty level. It's to get them out of failing schools so that they have a chance. So that seems to be where we are sitting right now. I think everything is lined up. I think the Senate and the governor seem to be on the same page. So we'll see what happens today.
Yeah, that's interesting because the governor's on board and the Republicans are on board. It's the Democrats who control the House who say this isn't an appropriate use of this, and we have the money. There's not too often we can say we have the money for this, so we can afford this.
And we're not taking any money from education.
And it would definitely help these schools without fail.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to get the House Democrats.
Hopefully help them not to fail, right. Which is a big
right.
deal down there.
We're trying to give kids a chance.
But one thing, too, Linda, you came in this way. The month of June has been like no other month that I understand with the budgets going on, with people being here, there, the Senate taking a week off in June, which is unheard of, but the Shapiro administration has really stepped up the last 2 weeks and has, Frank Burns, who's a somewhat very moderate Democrat
right.
from Cambria County, some of those people have really stepped in and jumped in literally the last 2 weeks to get the budget almost, we'll see if it's on time.
It's been an interesting time. I mean, anytime a governor comes in for their first term, we extended an extra month to March instead of February for the address, but they're very quickly putting together a budget and setting their priorities. And look, that sets a tone for their, entire tenure there. And I think they've done a great job of, trying to identify what was important to them and how do we fund it. And I know next year, that administration will probably be starting the budget early in the fall. They'll have that time to be, much more thoughtful and, tee things up and work with everybody. But it's been fast and furious, and we knew it would be. It always is when somebody comes in their first term. And he's come in very organized. He demands a lot of his staff, and he wants, what he has said to be reflected in this budget. And I think we're all trying to help accomplish that.
Well, he came in on a mission. His mission is to be president of the United States. He has to be governor for a while, so he has to do that. But I will say this. Very organized, very good staff, and then you throw in the I-95 disaster, which they stepped in and they went to the public or private sector, the contractors, to say, what can be done here? Everything's on the table. Meanwhile, there was a budget being negotiated.
Right. He's had a lot going on in addition to the budget throughout the Commonwealth, and he's really stepped up to the plate. So I'm anxious to see if we can get this done today. I know his priority is to get it done on time, which isn't always easy. But we'll see as we go down today what happens.
Penn State Pitt funding, this is an impasse. Is this fetal tissue research, or what's the impasse for that funding?
So I'm not sure on the House side because we're waiting for that to come over from them. I think they did Penn Vet and Lincoln, which we've already taken care of. We're waiting for that to come over to us. I'm not sure what the issue with Penn State is because if you go anywhere in this valley, any conservation district, any farmer, we're heavily reliant on Penn State. And we have a lot of students that go to school there and would hate to have their tuition rise significantly if that's not taken care of. I believe Pittsburgh, at least for those who are pro-life, it is the fetal tissue research. And I spent a lot of time looking at that. And there's two different views, but they are following federal guidelines, any grant money they've gotten, research guidelines. I don't know that they're doing anything illegal, but they're doing stuff people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the difference.
Using aborted human tissue for research into a wide range. And what's the truth about that research at the moment? You delved into this a tiny bit, Ben.
Well, one of the things about when you get into research, some of the things, I'm going to say, Linda, you've made some sausage down in Harrisburg. Sometimes it's like putting bills together, legislation together. There's going to be some pluses, minuses. But one thing about scientific research here in the United States, and we see it with AI now, is that if it's not going to be happening here, it's going to be happening in other countries and somewhere else. So where do you, I mean, you've got some gray area in the morality, but on the other hand, if you're advancing human life or you're advancing civilization in some ways, you want that research, you want to have at least some control over the research, and the funding does make that.
Okay, so it doesn't happen.
Time is moving fast, and you look at these universities, and you want them to be on the front end of this. And Linda, I don't know if it's a real catch-22 situation, but you know the funding from the legislation is going to be a big deal for these universities.
And no state funding goes towards that research. It actually is supposed to go all to the students to reduce their tuition. And it'll be a hit to any student going to the schools that they don't get this funding.
If they don't get it. So you're in favor of getting this resolved and keeping the funding
going. We need to get it resolved, and I think we need to have a better understanding. What exactly is the research they're doing? How does it impact people? And then we have to weigh out. Is it moral? Is it ethical? Is it really helping people? I mean, if you ask anybody who has a disease that they're researching, they will tell you, yes, we want this to research to go on. If you ask folks that don't like the tissue they're using, and maybe there's a compromise. You know, maybe if a woman is miscarrying and she makes that choice. I want my baby's remains to go to scientific research, and that's something we all have to talk about. I know there's a lot of issues when it is an abortion, right? Is the mother aware? Do they feel like the mother was coaxed to do this because they need X amount of bodies? There was data showing that they were asking for minority fetal tissue as opposed to just Caucasian. And is that right? Are you encouraging people to get it so they get the tissue? I mean, that starts to become the argument. I don't know the answers to any of that yet, but I'm sure we're going to be diving into that in the next few years we have.
Pay close attention, and please come back and visit us and tell us what the outcome of this, and tell us about all these nuances. Joe McGranahan's going to be here next week. He would love to hear from you and details about this. What else? What else are you here for?
So I'm here because today would be your last day. And we got a citation from the Senate of Pennsylvania to honor your many years of service, not just here, as I read, as we researched it. And I have to tell you, you must have been intriguing because I know Jeff Cole was researching you. We called here for people to research you. And our citation bureau added things. So I don't know if somebody knew you down there. So I didn't know if you guys wanted me to read the whole citation as it is on record or just paraphrase.
That was all medicinal, I assure you, whatever you're talking about in there.
So that's up to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to read?
See what you
all
got,
right.
Sure.
So
you're the only person who's allowed to read something verbatim on the radio here.
So the Senate citation reads, whereas the Senate of Pennsylvania is always pleased to recognize those individuals who through their laudable tenure of service contribute in a meaningful way toward the well-being of their communities and this Commonwealth. Whereas Mark Lawrence Giesen is being honored upon his retirement from WKOK AM 1070 after a career spanning more than 40 years of service. And whereas a native of Sunbury, Mr. Giesen graduated from Shikellamy High School in 1977 and worked at WIGC AM 1010 in Lewisburg as an automation minder. I have no idea what that is.
You just watch it.
National and local newsreader and producer for 1 year. He earned a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from the Penn State University in 1982, and the following year he began working as the afternoon news anchor at WHLM AM-FM in Bloomsburg. In 1987, Mr. Giesen accepted the position of news director at the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation for WKOK AM 1070 and WQKX FM 94.1. In 1996, he joined Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporated in Williamsport, where he remained for several years before returning to WKOK AM 1070 as program director, the position from which he is retiring. His responsibility have included anchoring the morning newscast, reporting and hosting the WKOK Sunrise, and On the Mark programs. To his great credit, Mr. Giesen has earned numerous awards, including awards for his live news reporting and for anchoring the morning news roundup. active in his community. He has served as a board member and president of the Pennsylvania Associated Press Broadcasters Association and as a committee member for the United Way and Sunbury River Festival. Throughout his career, Mr. Giesen has striven to adhere to the highest standards of service and has rightly earned the respect and admiration of his many friends and colleagues. Now, therefore, the Senate of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania recognizes Mark Lawrence Giesen for his years of loyalty and service. We proudly note that he has demonstrated extraordinary commitment to WKOK AM 1070. We offer best wishes for continued success in the years to come. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Before I hand it off to you, I have to say, I think when you got Citizen of the Year, you were dubbed the voice of the Valley. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that's what you've been all these years. Agree or disagree with you, because there's some days I'm like, oh, I do not agree. but there's some days we definitely do. But that's the point, to have open dialogue so that we can all get to a place where we can at least be honest with each other and try to make each other think another way. So thank you for your commitment to this Valley, and thank you for making such a difference.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Here, we'll give, since there's some cameras in the room. Talk among yourself, folks.
You guys talk for a minute.
Here, let's open it.
John, you didn't get the memo for the salmon shirt? You didn't get the memo for the salmon shirt today?
Yeah. I didn't get that memo, no.
Yeah, so. Well, first of all, everybody knows my last name now, so that's so much in my private.
What were you in?
It wasn't
witness
trivia
protection?
This morning.
Yes, Lawrence is my middle name, yeah. And every time you talked about Mr. Giesen there, I'm like, what did Dad do now? of course, great guy in Sunbury. I hope he's listening. Sometimes he catches the show, sometimes not, so today would be the day. Now, this is great. When I met Roger Haddon Sr., and he said, listen, here's what we do around here. We try to super serve the community and help people and give people voice and do good. And it wasn't until later in an actual interview he said, you know, making money is just an excuse up here. We're here to super serve the Valley. And I had never heard the phrase super serve, so I wasn't sure what it meant. But as soon as you came on board, I just did absolutely everything he asked me to do. So, you know, I get credit for joining this and doing that and bringing people in and talking about that. It just beat working, and that's why I did it, because if it weren't for that, I'd have to get a job. So this has been just a great ride, and I am retiring from radio. I will do something else part-time out there.
Looking forward to working with you in your next adventure.
Right, so my name will pop up. It just has to be something that helps, because you get spoiled working here, helping with folks. This particular job, why am I leaving? I'm only 63. It's 24/7, and so there are some good jobs out there, and Macatrillo is an eager beaver who's really, you know, interested, willing, and able. He just doesn't know yet. So
his wife is listening.
Well, right, and he's going to be a fantastic program director here. So I know that I can leave with that in mind. So that's why I did what I did, just because that's what was. They give you an opportunity, you know, just give people voice and help and raise folks up and mediate the arguments and try to think what somebody else would say and just get that on the radio. So that's what I did. So somebody else can talk now. John, you're shaking your head.
When you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Well,
that's
right. That is
and
it.
Mark, you can still call in.
That's right. I will text Joe to keep him honest. Joe. So, yeah, fantastic. Well, and in the studio, Linda's here. Becca is here. Our businessman, I almost called you Bella. I'm sorry. Her great, fantastic dog is with us, too. But Becca's here, our business manager, and Ben Reichley and Tom Morgan. Say hi, Tom.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for everything, Mark. It's been like 30 years with you for me, and right. I love you like a brother, man.
Well, thank you so much. And Tom and I are going to get together from time to time and make sure that the beers stay cold down at Penn's Tavern. Of course, John Shipman here and Kevin Herr, who I met back in WHLM,
87.
Okay, so only 40 short years ago. So
I've known you for almost my entire life, which is kind of frightening.
For more than half your life.
Yeah.
So, all right. And, of course, Linda, of course, great aide to the senator. I just met Vonda for the first time this week, your good assistant, who was Ed Helfrich's assistant, and then, of course, John Gordner's.
So. And she's also retiring. I don't know if she told you.
She did.
In October.
Yep. So, yep, great people. So, okay, that's all I wish to say about this, unless somebody has a question.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for this. Really, really, really appreciated the recognition. not necessary, but appreciated. I'll just say that.
You need to know how appreciated you are.
Oh, well, thank you. I've learned a tiny bit about that in the past couple of weeks, especially when somebody took my headphones off my desk in my office saying he won't need these anymore. So. All right. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
All right. We will take a break. We'll come back with normal open phones and talk about two sides of important issues when we return.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
See you later, alligator.
All right, so we got John Shipman here. He's our good co-host today. Ben Reichle is back to our normal Friday co-host. Now we're doing a big switch, so Friday on the Mark's going to go away. We're going to preview the Legends of Success program ahead early there, but Joe will be anchoring on the Mark next week. So the show continues. So folks, we got two of these texts. Are people having a meltdown? What? No on the Mark. So yeah, Joe's going to continue doing on the Mark. It'll be 1 hour starting next week at 9 a.m. Ben Reichle is here, of course, Republican committee person. And Kevin Herr, my good co-host, or friend and acquaintance. And what are the words you're not going to miss? Greetings?
Anomaly.
Anomaly. Yes.
Anomaly's the one I really won't miss.
What about hey, buddy?
No, because that
you
was
might
normal.
Miss that.
Anomaly and frivolity.
He'll miss hey, buddy, because nobody calls you buddy.
Well, that's true. We started the frivolity one started when we started this program. And I was producing the program when it first started for many years, and we got into discussions, and it usually involved Ben and myself, and then the frivolity word came out. It wasn't meant nicely, I don't think, but that's just my thought.
Well, hold on. One of the original callers that was one of the ones you kept for years was the, I believe, a lady talking. And then she went to flush.
She was on the pot, and she did a flush.
Yes.
Stan is on the line. Stan, I'm not going to say your last name, but you're a good egg from Danville. And I am 100% saying here that he is a good friend and an acquaintance, and I do see him from time to time. Stan, I'm so proud to say for the very last time, you are on the Mark.
Well, thanks, Mark. Congratulations, and good luck with your future.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll be a break. It sounds like it will be. Hope you find what you need to carry on.
Stan, you are welcome.
I understand the 24-hour thing. That just really is not a good thing over time.
You are welcome to talk about the issues of the day if you so choose. You do not have to talk about me.
Okay. All right. Let's see. The Supreme Court came down with a decision yesterday, basically striking down and putting a knife in the heart of affirmative action, which is probably a good thing, because when the government insists that you just one group gets discriminated against for another group, that's not a good thing. Isn't that what we call systemic racism?
Well, yeah, and it's was intended as corrective, but the best thing about correcting, like if you're about to go off the road, is you got to know when to stop.
You know, right, so maybe and the government never knows when to stop.
Maybe this is that time. One of our listeners sent us a note, says Thomas Sowell, if I saw that. Yeah, Thomas Sowell said, when people get used to preferential treatment, equal treatment feels like discrimination. One of our good listeners, so there's that.
And Mr. Sowell is a black man, so he should know what he speaks of, because I'm sure he's seen some discrimination in his past. That's the thing, and you know, but the people on the left are screaming and hollering that we're going. I don't know what we're going back to. They say, but that right there, they always scream systemic racism. Well, affirmative action, in my opinion, is a perfect example of it, and it was quote done for good reasons. Isn't that what we're always told these programs, the government institutes, is done for good reasons? And then when they turn out to be not so good, they can't stop. So now maybe they'll stop. We'll wait and see, because there's never any guarantees. You know, the president's out there hollering about, you know, this is a strange court and blah, blah, blah. And he's been known to basically thumb his nose at the court when they tell him that what he's doing's wrong. And today they're coming out with a decision on student loan. Well, repayment, nobody knows what that's going to be yet. I hope it goes the right way, because, quite frankly, anybody that's never going to school after high school, you know, going to college or higher education, should not be required with their tax dollars to pay for somebody that has.
The interesting thing about student loans is as soon as that legislation was passed, tuition went through the roof. And so who really benefited by that? Well, it's the institutions. The colleges and universities are the ones that really benefited. And now we have a lot of young people that have major loans that they're having trouble paying back. So, they got an education, but the people that really profited from it were the institutions, the colleges and universities.
That is true. And my question is, he has a student loan repayment for now, people that have student loans now. Okay, there's still students going to school that are going to have student loans. What's going to happen with their student loans? Is this a one-time deal or is it an ongoing deal? Nobody knows. It's his executive order, which, by, you know, he wants the governor by fiat, it seems. You know, everything he says, well, it's an executive order, you got to do it. Well,
two things, though, what John talked about, and I think, Mark, we've talked about this, too, is the lack of the institutions being involved in the solution. So college and universities seem to have got themselves out of the circle of life when it comes to student loans, and they're not accountable for this. And also, too, the business of education, where colleges would not have certain courses and people would have to go an extra semester. So the lack of the institutions being involved is a real problem in my eye. But also, going back to the original point, it's hard to change behavior or hard to solve a problem by doing the problem again. So discrimination begets discrimination. Does that solve the problem of discrimination? So, you know, we see what the Supreme Court has said. And look for the Democrats to try to talk about packing the court again, getting more Supreme Court members, because they're not getting the answer
they want. Well, fortunately, Joe won't do that, so you're safe there. Stan, thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words, and I will talk to you again. I know that's coming up, so we'll talk again.
All right, you got my number. Have a good day.
Yep,
good luck.
We'll talk later. All right, we're going to take another quickie break. When we go back, we got another caller. And, Kevin, you want to say something? All right, Kevin Herr is here. He wants to say something. All right.
Don't give me that look.
Everybody gets an open mic.
He's getting emotional.
I was going to say,
there's an open mic rule here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could have called in like everybody else. This is Bob from Berwick. Mark is terrible. All right, 570-743-9565. Get in queue behind Harry. We'll be right back.
Kevin and I have our cigarette lighters up in the air.
Appropriate bumper music. Hold on, Harry. We got to get rid of these guys.
Thanks, I think. I just want to say, you mentioned it earlier. We met in 1987. I was running your newscast at the Bloomsburg Fair. That was my first stint in radio.
Mm.
So it only feels right that I be here for your retirement as well as you were here for my first stint in radio. And over those years, we didn't work long together in Bloomsburg because you came here. Then in the 90s when I came here, you were in Williamsport and came back.
Oh, that's right.
And since that time, we have worked together. I have enjoyed sharing fishing and hunting stories with you. We have been colleagues. We've been partners in some projects. And I've always have considered you a very good friend. And I will miss your greetings in the morning. As I said, I will not miss your anomalies
and mistakes
on things that go wrong. But
everything I say, Kevin listens to, and of course, I talk all morning long, so I'm bound to say something that's false. You know, I'll give the wrong temperature or say traffic's lined up in Danville as he just went through at 40 miles an hour, and he will send me a note and say, Mark, traffic is fine.
My favorite part, and I want you to know this now, it was not intended to be mean, but I enjoyed listening to the morning news roundup. It was a big part of my day, as many of the listeners can attest to as well. The entire drive in, that's what I listened to every day. And every other day, I have the need to text. And I hold off on a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
So just so you know, you didn't get all of them, but
right.
there was one though that I thought that I even know that I think you laughed at as well. You had gone on and done a list of events coming up, sporting events coming up that weekend, and it was like the week before or something, and you had looked at the wrong date.
Yeah, Rob Center dutifully gives us the list of next month's sporting events, like a week in advance. So I'm in the anchor booth and I pick up the Phillies schedule. I say, the Phillies are going to play the Nationals tonight. And Rob's over the next room. He shakes his head, no. And Kevin texts in and says, no, that's July.
I just
Mark.
About drove off the road going, that's last week.
Oh, gosh.
So, no, anyway. I all kidding aside, it's you've been a big part of my mornings and a big part of my life for the last pretty much 40 years.
And there's one word I'm going to miss yelling this, okay? I have to get off mic for this. Kevin!
That's usually followed up with, I'm not here.
Yeah, Kevin can fix absolutely everything. Even though today's in the front office, national sales and sort of operations, he makes us fix things ourselves in many cases. He still knows how to fix absolutely everything up here. So
and if I
you.
Don't, I fake it really well. But
Well, maybe now we could hunt or fish together. You know, we actually
we've never been able to do that.
We've never done that.
Yeah, because we couldn't take the time together, because usually because of the show or something. So that's all right. You don't want to hunt with me because... You'll end up just getting frustrated.
Oh, well, the deer are pretty safe around me lately, so we'll be good. But thank you so much. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Now let's get to the phones. Harry, you are next. Please, you have to talk about the issues. Enough about me.
Well, I'm going to do both, actually. First, good luck in your future endeavors, and thank you for your service, not only to the station, but to the area with the... The revitalization, everything else, you know, all the committees you're on, you've stepped up and done a lot of things through the years, and that's admirable. Even when I don't agree with some of the stuff you say on here, I love the fact that you've got this show started, and I call in enough that probably people hear Harry's voice and they say, oh, what's that lunatic going to talk about? But I thank you for the forum.
Well, you're quite welcome. My greatest pleasure.
Anyway, one of the things I was listening there, you know, the ruling yesterday about affirmative action, I kind of have a personal take on that. In 1977, I took a civil service test for a clerk two position, which was kind of a general thing for many jobs in the state. And I finished second with the test score. And I did not get the job because at the time they were using affirmative action to fill the spots. And they had to go down to the number six spot to fill that position. Now, in the long run, things have worked out for me through the years. You know, I've wound up where I should be and have had a good life and a good several good careers in a couple different fields. So I'm not crying and moaning over it. But when people want to talk about the fairness of it, the fairness comes on both sides. You know, those who are passed over and for whatever reason. So you can't fix any kind of injustice by creating another injustice, and I think the Supreme Court got this one right.
Well, I I'm going to tell you you're wrong just on for tradition's sake, but but honestly, yeah, I think this affirmative action was imposed in order to fix a wrong that was dreadfully wrong, and I think it probably helped to do that, but like I said, when you're going down a road and you need to overcorrect because you might be going off the road, you can easily overcorrect, and I think that's what we've done up to now, so I don't disagree with you in all of these good things. Harry, we got two other callers waiting.
I think we've gotten to the point where just quotas become so important that we'd forget about qualifications, and that's where, you know, even though stuff was wrong at the start, you have to get back to doing what's right now.
All right, good luck
to you, Mark.
Hey, thank
good
you so much.
Good luck to you and all that you do.
Yep, you'll see me again. I know that to be true. One of these days when you're in the pews, turn around, I might be in the back row there. You just never know. Thank you, sir.
All right, take care.
Much appreciated. All right, one more caller, and then we have to do another break, and then we got more eggheads from the front office in the studio, so we got to talk to them. But, Bob, please go right ahead.
Yeah, please call Trump a buffoon one more time before you leave, Mark.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
And I wish you the best, and you're going out like a firework.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. And, this is not my choice. This is everybody's wants to do this. I was ready to talk. I read all the articles I could about affirmative action to prepare for today. But anyway, go ahead.
Who's taking over your position?
Joe's going to do a one-hour show by himself. I have an occasional liberal co-host in here and guests, of course. Linda Schlegel-Culver said she'll come back and talk to him or call in anyway. So it'll be sort of the same format, only without somebody portraying a liberal across from him or actual liberals, of course. Steve and Peggy Chamberlain and Carrie Albright won't be here every day, but they will come in occasionally.
Okay, sounds good. And best of wishes to you. Have a good day.
All right, thanks, buddy. All right, let's do Dan, and then we'll take the break. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Hey, sorry to see you go, but I've been talking with you for over 10 years, ever since I retired. I started to call in, and I do thank you for a bastion a freedom where we can express our beliefs. And tongue-in-cheek, I know you only cut me off the air once, but I want you to have a little talk with Joe.
I'm sure you had it coming.
Be a little kinder and make sure he says goodbye instead of just pulling the switch on me.
Okay. Yeah,
Could you do that?
Yes, he likes to expedite. That's his shtick for 40 years. So.
Yeah. So he, you know, and I admire this Supreme Court. They're doing rulings in favor of religious freedom, and I give them credit for ruling in favor of Mr. Goff because of his convictions. And I think this Supreme Court's more Christian friendly than a lot of the court before that has been. So that's all I have, and wish you the best in retirement. Maybe someday we'll have an eyeball. I never met you in person.
Well, we'll remedy that. I'll be out to New Berlin. I have some time, so I'll come out. I do have your phone number, so I'll give you a buzz, and we'll get together. If not, we'll see you during New Berlin Day.
I'll be down at Pine, not to interrupt, but I'll be down at Pine Nodders Day a couple times.
Well, every so often I help with pierogies. Otherwise, we'll see you then. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. You have a great retirement.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. All right. It's only retiring from radio. Going to work full or part-time in the future, folks. So I just want to be clear about that in case my lovely bride is listening. I compiled a list of things to do, and she approved it. So that's what we're going to be doing.
And she added to it.
Well, somewhat, yeah. And gave urgency stars and underlines. So, all right. I'm going to take a break, and then Matt Katrina. Trillo is here. He's the eager beaver that's to whom all this is going to be handed. And he's clapping
over in the newsroom.
He's still not nervous, so we'll fix that. All right, here we go.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Happy trails to you.
Oh my gosh.
I had to do this at least once.
Rob Senator, fabulous producer. I'm gonna miss Rob too. Just a super, super, super professional. Good day.
Is he talking about you, or is he talking about James Harden?
Either way, yeah. Goodbye, James. Okay. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Matt Cotrillo joins us. Matt, you're going to talk about some changes coming up on
yes.
the radio?
I'm happy to see James Harden go, but not happy to see Mark Lawrence go. So before I get to our new programming lineup here on WKOK starting this Monday, I would be remiss if I didn't have any closing remarks for Mark here as you finish up your over 40 years of service, a majority of them here at WKOK. I started here as a part-timer right out of college in June 2015. And I've been here for 6.5 years on and off. I was gone for a year and a half in Lebanon before I came back here. And one thing I'll always remember is I thought I was a pretty good writer coming in. And then I saw Mark Lawrence write a news story, and I thought, man, I should have thought of that. Man, how does he think of these things? So I've always strived myself to saying, you know, I need to find a way to write like Mark Lawrence. And I think I've Jeez. Gotten close to doing that in the 6.5 years that I've been here. But I think I'm still working on that a little bit. And then, so you've taught me everything, Mark. You've taught me basics in news writing, reporting, anchoring, making decisions as a news director.
When you say we have a problem, what do I say?
There are no problems, only solutions.
Right.
And I always try to remember that, especially in these first couple of weeks of taking things over. So, you truly have taught me everything that I know now, and I'm certainly going to miss you very much. Sharing the newsroom with you every day, I think we talk more to each other than our wives sometimes. Which is, I don't know if that's sad or not, but maybe we'll let our wives speak for ourselves.
No, I'll tell one brief story, and that's that April kind of made up a joke one time that when we got married, of course, I have a daughter, so she knew she wouldn't be number one in my life, and I was married to WKOK, and she thought she wouldn't be number two, and of course, I have parents who are senior citizens, so she knew she might not be number three, but she says, I knew I wasn't going to be number one, but I never thought I'd be number eight. Holy smokes.
I thought somebody broadcasted was your mistress.
Right. She remedied that. We remedied that. Well, thank you for the kind words. You're a quick study and just a wonderful guy to work with, and so it's been my greatest pleasure. If I inspired you or helped you in any way, then everybody wins, so thank you.
Absolutely. And the last thing I'll share is, the one thing I've also enjoyed sharing with you, Mark, off mic, is sharing our different faith backgrounds and lifestyles. Obviously, you're a great Lutheran pastor. I'm a devout Catholic. And
just a preacher, not a pastor.
Yeah, preacher. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, preacher. There's a difference.
And not
there.
Actually even a good one, but that's another topic. Anyway.
But that's one thing I've always enjoyed. I know we talk a lot about religion on the show, but I've enjoyed the fact that we've been able to share that part of our lives with each other as we've crossed paths and continue to keep this place afloat. So I just wanted to mention that, too. That's something I'm truly going to miss, and I wish you the best in whatever you do next, and continue in that as well, and in your life ahead. And I know this is I know you told me yesterday I'm not dead. I get that. So we'll definitely be in touch. You are a stinking Cowboy fan, but that's okay. I'll let that slide.
Well, but at least the Phillies beat the heck out of my Cubs.
Yes,
I think
they
that
did.
Was a sweep, was it not?
Yes, it was a sweep.
Yeah,
yes.
That was a three-game sweep.
Thought so.
Yeah. So there
Loved
you go.
Every second of it.
Oh, jeez. Thank you. Poor Cubs.
Go.
All right, so Monday, let's start at 5 a.m.?
Yes, so at 5 a.m., 5 to 8 is going to stay the same. That'll be America's First News with Gordon Deal, with some local news mixed in, done by yours truly. Then from 8 to 9, we're going to have the brand-new Sunbury Motors News Hour on WKOK, which will be hosted by yours truly. That'll be from 8 to 9, which is basically what the WKOK Morning News Roundup is now, just an extra half hour, basically, with a new sponsor in Sunbury Motors, of course, so we appreciate that. 9 to 10, Monday through Thursday will be On the Mark with Joe McGranahan, as Mark, you already mentioned. Fridays from 9 to 10 will be Legends of Success with John Resnick. So we already know the details there about that. 10 to 1 will remain the Dan Patrick Show. Then from 1 to 3, as Steve and I announced on the show on Wednesday, it will be the new time slot for the Steve Jones Show to accommodate me with my new schedule. So Steve Jones Show, 1 to 3. Then we have a brand new show coming on to WKOK beginning Monday afternoon from 3 to 6. And that is going to be the Sean Hannity Show. So that will be starting Monday from 3 to 6. And then on from 6 to 7 p.m. on Monday through Friday will be the new time slot for the Dave Ramsey Show, and then Fox Sports will continue to take you on throughout the night after that. So that is the new program lineup Monday through Friday. Saturday mornings, 6 to 7, will still be America's First News. 7 to 10 will be the best of the Sean Hannity Show with local news mixed in, and then 10 to 1 will still have Kim Komando, and Fox Sports follows after that. Then Sunday morning, we'll still have the religious program hour at 6 o'clock. 7 to 9 is a brand new show as well. Jill on Money with CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger, and that will continue with some local news as well. And then from 9 to 10 will be America Changed Forever. You're used to hearing that on Saturday mornings on WKOK, so that's just going to move to Sunday at 9 instead. And then we'll have the rest of our normal Sunday programming after that, Meet the Press, and Legends of Success and all that good stuff in Fox Sports. So that is the complete new lineup for WKOK, again starting this Monday, and we'll have the full lineup posted momentarily on WKOK.com and all of our social media platforms for everybody to kind of look over that and know what's coming up. So we're excited for the new lineup on WKOK starting Monday, Mark, but of course we're definitely going to miss you and what we've had here all along here for, geez, decades now, I think it is.
So I'm keeping your laptop, which is basically the football where anybody can log in with.
That's
it.
Correct.
So I'm keeping that. So I may log in when you're least expecting to say, hey, buddy, on the screen, so you never know. Yeah, great programming changes, and I think they greatly simplify what WKOK is all about. It still allows the news, the AccuWeather, and the sports to go, but not so many what I cobbled together programming in the morning and so on. So yeah, that'll be a little bit more streamlined. All right, well, I'm going to shut up. I told you could come up here and say whatever you wanted about important topics. So you get a minute, and you've had your minute.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, Matt, if you have to get to work, you necessarily don't have to stay the rest of the show, but that's up to you.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
This is the last couple minutes here. This is history. I'll stay.
Don't say something about me.
Well, since that's the major topic of today's show, I'd just like to say that it's been a pleasure to be a co-host from that time to time. We've known each other since 1995, I think. I know your dad for a long time, more than that. You've always been a gentleman. It's always been a pleasure. I enjoy the give and take, and you will be missed, and we're looking forward to having you active in the community.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be fishing. So if you see me fishing on a Wednesday morning, you know something is unusual. Don't say something about me. Anything to add about affirmative action, sir?
Well, I would say looking up at the plaques there going back to 08. But I do remember when you called me and said, hey, would you come up and do a little bit of opinion? Because I believe you would text me. I would call in when I was traveling. But I believe the first opinion piece I did was on turn signals.
Right.
And if everybody would use their turn signals, the world would be a better place.
I told you I thought they were optional equipment, but you said no.
If you communicate on the road, people will be happier. If people are happier, they might drive a little better. So that was the whole premise of that. But Mark, looking up
so
there,
good.
And I know it's very hard to speak for Than, but I will speak for Than. So our names are on there, winning that award, and I think the tributes to you throughout the last couple weeks when this leaked out, Linda had texted me about 14 different times over the last 36 hours because she didn't know what was going on in Harrisburg, but who does? But it was a pleasure.
I was going to text you yesterday or the day before, say, you don't have to come in Friday if you don't want to. That's fine. John's here.
Well, obviously, Linda and I coordinated our outfits.
Yeah, it's called
today.
Conspiracy in Harrisburg. I don't know. Listen, thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, everybody. I will be back helping emergently or filling in when
Matt
takes a day off.
So.
Or if Joe... All right, well, Joe doesn't take a day off, but if he were sick one day, I could still come in. So we'll talk again. This is WKOK Sunbury.